The scripture reading today, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read from the Common English Bible today. Oh, you may be seated. I'm talking. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written in the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I'm sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way, a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. John was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, one stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable this day in your sight, our rock and our salvation. So, this is our gospel writer, Mark. Very to the point, very quick. This is the beginning of the gospel of Mark, as compared to perhaps in the beginning from John, takes us all the way to the beginning of time. Matthew gives us an account of the genealogy. And Luke starts, since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of events that have been fulfilled among us, they all give us something to lead up to the birth of Jesus. And Mark decides to get right in there and talk to us about Jesus himself. And if you continue reading on, it goes right into the ministry of Jesus. Like, he doesn't mince words. And they say what you see in the beginning, you'll recognize in the end. And if, when we get to the end of Mark this year, because Mark is the lectionary gospel this year, you see it ends, and they said nothing because they were afraid. And later on, two different endings were added to Mark. It's like, how do you start out here and end there? And people understand, waiting for that baby Jesus and waiting for God to come amongst us, Emmanuel. So this is the beginning of the good news. Now we have to remember that Mark is writing in the time when the Roman Empire has taken over the area. People were oppressed. Christians were being persecuted all the time. And so Mark is trying to bring them hope, but also helping them to prepare for the Lord to come again. Because like us, they had no idea when Jesus was coming again. And in this Advent season, that's what we continuously do, is prepare our hearts. And this week, we talk about preparing the way for the Lord. Isaiah said that I'm sending a messenger before you. God told the people when Isaiah the prophet went out. They, too, were living in exile. They were getting ready to go home. If you know the story of the Babylonian exile, they had been exiled for 40 years, and they were headed back. A few generations later, were headed back to Israel. I will tell you that I have taken some classes on Israel. I have been to Israel and spoken to Israeli families. I have spoken to Palestinian families. And a lot of them come to this time when the Jewish people return, the Israelites return from their time in Babylon. And I don't know if you knew this, but when they were taken into exile, they were not all taken at the same time. They were taken in groups, and what they did was they would start with the richest people first, leaders first, would be exiled. And then a while later, they would come get the next class of people. And not everyone was taken, and so the people that were left had no leadership. They lived in the life of confusion because they were so used to their leaders leading them and their worship leaders leading them. And so the people that were left behind were left in a time of confusion. And we can see that in our world today. Like, sometimes things get very chaotic. I know being the new pastor up in this pulpit, the first Sunday I was down there, the next Sunday I was up here, we're trying to get Zoom correct. I haven't been a pastor since we've had Zoom because I retired before COVID. And, you know, just trying to make sure that everybody can see what they need to see and they can hear the message. And so there's chaos. I was talking to Judy about when I did communion last week. Like, I'm not used to sitting down behind the little table. I love that you kneel at the altar, but I had a bigger altar in my church for 10 and a half years, so I had room to move around by the communion table. And so it's just getting used to a new church, a new room, new people, and that's why grace is such a blessing, because we can, as Christians, just look at each other and say, I need grace for this, because I am not prepared yet to be in this pulpit for a long time. Until every Sunday I learn something new. Did you notice today I even brought the prayer down to the collection plate, because Hannah taught me that this week. But I want to keep learning, and that's why we prepare for God. That's what we're called to do in our heart. As we're preparing the way for God to come, the scripture tells us that the people went out to see John the Baptist. They heard that he was talking about preparing a way for God to come, and they were anxious for the Lord to come back. And so it tells us that he went out in the wilderness, and the people went to him. I found that so interesting, because they always found God in the temple, and they went out to the wilderness. And we know how many wilderness stories do we hear in the Bible, but they went out to him. And I truly feel that God sent John the Baptist out to the wilderness rather than through the world, so the chaotic part of the world would not be there when they came out to cleanse themselves. Now, the Jewish people did have a baptism, but they did not have a baptism with the Holy Spirit. They would go out and cleanse themselves in the Jordan River, and they would not have someone baptize them. They would baptize themselves, but a leader would be there as they baptized themselves, as they cleansed themselves. The Israelites were very clean people. All my Jewish friends I have still wash their dishes before they sit down to eat. They wash their hands. And when I went to Israel, the men that were praying before they went into the temple, there was a bowl for them, big jugs where they could wash their hands before they went into the temple. That cleanliness to wipe off the things of the world before they went in. And so this all made sense, that they were coming out to John, to the river, to get cleaned. And that word repent, the one that we sometimes don't like to hear, because we want to believe because Christ died we are free of sins, but you know, we still sin. I am a sinner, and I stand here a sinner, but I have the hope and the repentance of Jesus Christ. But there are times when our sins weigh us down, even though we know we're forgiven. We have to, what I used to say to people is, I like to repent of my sins because, first of all, they weigh me down, because in my conscience I know that I've done something that I didn't mean to do, and I'm sorry for it. But every time that I do something that I don't think I should be doing, and I repent, I am thanking Jesus once again for what he did on that cross for me. It's reminding me that was for me here in this time now. So every time that I give to the Lord all that's on my heart that I may have done wrong, I'm once again remembering what Jesus did for me. And repent means to turn your life back to God. Turn your life back to God. So as I was reading the scripture, it said everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River. So you can imagine this, all the people, like crowds and crowds of people going out to the Jordan River to be baptized. Well, also, the two times I was in Israel, I got to go to the Jordan River, and I got to renew my baptism, because we know there is one baptism, so you don't have to be rebaptized. But we would renew our baptism in the Jordan River. Second time I went, it was very quiet that day when we got there, and all of a sudden we hear all this laughing and loud noises, and here there were two busloads of young people from, I don't know what country they were from, but they got off the bus in white robes, and none of them had ever been baptized, and they were coming for their baptism to the Jordan River. And if you could have felt the joy that day in the Jordan River, and this is what I picture when I see all these people coming out to John the Baptist, because they were like practically running to the Jordan River to be baptized. And then after they were baptized, they were just yelling and hollering and partying. And it's what you imagine in a baptism. You know, like, it's very nice when we have it up here, but when you see all these people being baptized together for the first time, I just could picture what John was picturing as all these people came to him saying, yes, we want to help prepare that way for God. We want to clean ourselves and get us ready for when Jesus returns. So they used to also, you know, prepare the roads for the kings when the kings would come, because they were bumpy roads and the roads would be twisted and turned. And I'm sure you've probably heard that in the sermon, that we want to make our roads straight and level the ground. That was to make it fit for the king to come through. But these are the roads of our hearts that John was talking about. The things in our heart that we need to get straight before Jesus comes again. And that's the perfect preparation now for Advent. Now, yesterday we prepared decorations while we were in the back room. But I'd like to witness to something yesterday. I did bring three friends yesterday. One friend I had for 53 years, another friend for 43 years, and another friend for 30 years, and they all came with me yesterday. And they are my best friends in this whole world. But two of them don't go to church. They were brought up in the Catholic Church, but they don't attend church. 10 years I was a pastor down in North Wildwood, and they never came to my church, except for the day I retired. But I never give up talking about Jesus. They know who I am. And yesterday, they came here, and we went out to lunch afterwards, and they were so impressed with the welcome. Not that they wouldn't have been welcomed down in North Wildwood, they just never came. And they were just so amazed by the love the women showed each other and showed to them. And twice they said to me, I think we'll come back to that church. And you see, it's strange how God puts us in different places at different times in our lives. But it would be worth every minute I stood in the pulpit if my friends would come to church and truly find Jesus Christ in their life. And if that's what God has called me to the pulpit for a couple of my family members to come, or these two dear friends of mine that don't go to church, then every hour that I've put into prayer and preparing would all be culminated in that. Because our desire, if we have that joy and peace in our lives, is to share it with the people we love so much. And when they came here yesterday and they left here feeling they wanted to come back to this church, and I don't know when they'll walk in the doors, but I'm leaving that up to God. But they have never said to me, oh, I think I'm going to come back to that church. And that's what preparedness is. You helped start preparing your hearts for another visit to this church. And that's what we have to do with everyone in the world, just little by little, just help them prepare their hearts. But first we have to prepare ours. We have to make sure that there are people that are neglected aren't neglected. Sometimes people just want somebody to talk to. They don't want you to talk to them, but they need somebody to talk to. Do you have that heart for patience and listening? Is your heart prepared to listen to what some people may talk to you about? Is your heart prepared to do what God calls you to do, to share the word? And like Judy said, everybody doesn't pray beautifully or know how to pray or know what words to say. But God's word clearly says, He will give you the words to say, so you don't have to fear. God will put those words, as long as you put God in your heart, God can use the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say to anybody. And that's what we're called to do as a church. We're just called to be in the world, to leave here today, to be in the world, to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus, to help people make their path straight, to get those bumps out of their lives. And so on our second week, Mark tells us, wake up, because he threw that beginning right in our face, the beginning of Jesus Christ and his ministry. And he just very simply says, we've got to do this. We've got to make this path straight, just like the path was made straight for the Israelites to get back to their home in Jerusalem, to get back to the temple. God said in Isaiah, if you read Isaiah 41:11, God tells them, I will make the path straight for you to get back. You will have no way. God was working with the Israelites then. God was working in the hearts of the people that went down to the Jordan River that day with John the Baptist. And God is working today. God is a God of all time. And our scripture in Peter tells us that. And God's time is not our time, but we always need to be ready for when God's time is God's time. And so I hope in this second Sunday of Advent that you will take time spend with God, to ask God if there's anything that you need taken off your heart to help you bring more joy in your life, or something you might want to put on the heart of someone else to bring more joy in their life and to make the path straight so that God can come to each and every one of us through this holiday. Mark is very simple in his words, but sometimes that's how life needs to be, right? We have enough chaos. So I ask for you to pray for us as a church, that this church can revive without some leaders, still needing leaders, but I know that God has a plan. And also pray for all the people out in the world today that need to be led to God. You only have to turn the news on for 5 minutes, I guarantee you. And you can see how much the world needs Jesus Christ. So here we are in the second week of Advent. A quiet week. But please, let us pray for the world and for those things that we need in our hearts. Gracious God, your word says that John went to prepare the way so people could cleanse themselves and be ready for Jesus to come. Someone that were not even worthy as John to untie his sandal straps, but someone with great promise and great hope. Lord, we ask that you, in this Advent season, help us to cleanse once again. Help us to remember to pray for the world and those that need to come to Jesus. And may this season be a season of true peace. Lord, we ask for peace around the world as wars still rage. We ask for peace within our schools as children need guidance and direction. And we ask for peace right here in your home, in your church, that we may be who you've called us to be. Teach us each and every day, Lord. Bring us to your word, bring us to prayer, and help us to love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.